inches there. So if you're going to be traveling, if you unfortunately have to the Cape, down, say, 495, Route 25 by the Bourne Bridge, Sagamore Bridge, you'll run into some fairly decent snows today. The main story is for today and tomorrow, the cold, the coldest weather we've had so far this season.
Yay.
The temperatures have not gotten above freezing today. They won't. They're going to stay generally in the upper 20s. Again, a few flurries. There's still having a couple of flurries here and there in the Attleboro area, but essentially it's done now. It's just clouds mixed with sun. North winds 5 to 15 miles an hour. Then tonight we're going to clear out, and yes, Paul, we will try to make some ice on some of the shallow ponds around the area.
Outstanding, outstanding. I'm bringing my skates to the studio tomorrow and hopefully coming right from Attleboro to Westboro to skate after the show tomorrow.
Now, the Whitehall Reservoir, is that a place?
No, that's too deep. That won't be frozen yet. That won't be safe enough for skating. We'll be doing mostly, you know, swamp skating, mud hole skating, that kind of thing.
Okay, good. Take really until actually Wednesday, though, so I wouldn't advise. I would advise testing it out first.
Jim, somebody's got to be first. I wouldn't advise anyone listening to go out ice skating tomorrow. Let Clay and I do that first. We'll check it out for you.
Well, whatever you do it, get some video and put it on your website so we can all see it in a couple of days.
Good point.
At any rate, we're going to have highs tomorrow in the low to mid-20s. So, again, definite good ice-making weather on shallow ponds and lakes.
Thank you.
And then on Wednesday, after starting out about 18 or so in the morning, we're going to reach about 39 or 40 in the afternoon. So we go above freezing. But again, all night, Tuesday night, it will still be below freezing, so the ice will be there. And then it looks like on Thursday and Friday, we generally stay 40, 45 degrees for highs, 20s at night. Our next chance of any widespread precipitation still looks to be Friday night and Saturday. That looks still to be probably a snow or mixed rain and snow event changing to rain the way it looks right now. Now, I mentioned this with Dawn this morning. Next week, not this week, but next week around Tuesday or Wednesday, that could be our first threat at a significant snow event, so stay tuned.
All right, so we'll have a hostage crisis known as a school snow day, ruining the parents of ruining the plans of parents everywhere as their snot-nosed little gifted children will be stuck home for the day. Wow.
I used to love it when we'd walk to school even in snow and we'd go and come back, and it's nowadays, you have to, just like letting off the kids every few feet at a bus.
Yes.
I mean, the kids are pampered. They're pampered kids.
No, Jim. Jim. When we were young, we were average. The children today are gifted.
Do the voice.
Why, back in my day, we were average if we were lucky, and we were proud of it. Now, today's kids are gifted. Gifted. That's Latin. It means soft.
And some of them don't have to go in a bus with 50 or 60 seats. They go in buses with like 5 or 6 seats, like limousines.
Well, that's the short bus that I'm intimately familiar with, but that's another story. Anyway, all right.
All right, I have nothing else to say. Again, cold tomorrow, today, tomorrow, and then we start to moderate a little bit the rest of the week.
All right, thanks a lot, Jim.
All right.
There he goes, Jim Corbin, finally bringing us cold weather, which, you know what that means? You know what it means tonight is? Tonight is opening season of the Carol McLaughlin versus Paul Healey thermostat wars. Because it's been a mild winter, we've avoided it. But no, the thermostat wars will begin tonight. Anyone out there who can crochet might want to start working on a blanket for Carol. Because she wants the thermostat set at about 87 degrees in this weather, whereas I want it set at about 66, 67. You know, just warm enough to get the frost off your toes. Jim Jones, do you have thermostat wars with your loving wife?
No, we don't touch the thermostat.
Set it and forget it.
Correct.
Which is supposed to be
otherwise, put a sweater on or a blanket or something.
Okay. See, that's Jimmy Carter live in studio.
No,
that's Jim Jones.
You know, when we turn the heat on in the house, it's like $800 every 2 weeks.
Gosh. Yeah. Big house?
14 rooms.
No.
Yeah.
14 rooms?
Yes.
There's you and, what, two kids?
Two kids, yes.
What do you need 14 rooms for?
It was there.
If you're looking for a boarding opportunity or a renting opportunity, call Jim Jones at 508-222-1320. He'll try to accommodate. How about the Airbnb stuff? You could do that.
We could.
But
we've got the ballet room. We've got two playrooms. We've got the art room. We've got the exercise room. We've got two kitchens.
Two kitchens?
Two kitchens, yes.
Okay, that would mean it was a house built for two families.
No, no, it was a federal colonial that was built, and then an in-law added onto it.
But instead of sharing some of your 14 rooms, keeping them all for yourself.
That's right.
Wow.
I've got stuff.
Dominic, can you compete with a 14-room mansion?
No, not at all.
No?
Not at all.
What do you win?
Let's see. Kitchen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 rooms.
Okay. This explains why last June, when we had Chris Page on from the Tiny Living Movement, you came nowhere near the studio.
Yes.
You would have been horrifically shamed. I drive a giant SUV, and I live in a 14-room house.
Yes. The ballet room is about the size of the room that he was living in.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, the former owners, their daughter was a prima ballerina.
Really?
So they built a ballet room for her.
So they had prima ballerinas, and you have prima donnas. So
that's right, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. All right, 508-222-1320, 508-222-1320. Go ahead, give us a call. Tell us how selfish you think Jim Jones is for keeping all 14 rooms just to himself and his wife and Noah and Lily, is it?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
That's good.
All right. Hey, very good. All right. So are we... This Oregon militia standoff?
Yes.
You want me to read this article and we'll talk about that tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay. All right. So what do you got today?
I don't know. I was wondering what you got going on. I was hoping that you had read up about it because it was happening all weekend.
Well, I was, you know what?
But you were probably memorizing lines.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. That's just
more,
what I was doing.
There are more priorities in this world than,
Not more
than federal land taking and states' rights and...
Yes.
Local rights.
And Obama taking over and turning this into a gunless Muslim country.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. Yes.
Right,
yes.
Those things. Yes. Of course, tomorrow, ice skating will be more important than learning my lines, but oh well.
Do you think you're going to get out on the ice? Because it hasn't been that cold.
No, but well, last night was cold enough. It's not getting much above freezing today. And this is probably like a half mile around, and it's an old swampland.
Right.
So... it freezes early. It's only like 2 to 3 feet deep. So even if you fall through.
Right, but what do you have? Maybe a half an inch of ice right now?
Black ice, you only need an inch of black ice. Not
yes,
gray
but you,
ice.
But you don't skate on black ice.
Yes, you do.
No.
Black ice is the best ice to skate on.
On a swamp?
Yeah, one push and you go like 30 feet. It's fabulous.
If you go too far, you're in the swamp.
Well, no, but, you know, it freezes over.
How do you test it?
Clay goes out first.
You throw rocks on the ice?
No, because then you have rocks in the middle of the ice if the ice is safe. There's only one way to test the ice. Get on the ice! And we let Clay do it because he
weighs... Then you get wet if you fall in.
Yeah, but it's a mud hole only up to your thighs at the worst. But and Clay weighs about 80 pounds more than I do, so it's always important for him to do the testing.
You don't send like a little kid out there?
No, that was my job when I was little on Emery's Pond
because
I was the smallest kid around. And yes, that was my job when I was little.
See, now, wouldn't it have made sense to send the largest kid out on the ice to make sure that it was safe for everybody?
Yes, it would, but Brian Williamson would have beaten us up. May Brian rest in peace. He passed away last month. But yes. No, that was back when the big kids would make us little kids try it first.
Okay.
With you know... The threat of a snowball down the neck or dumping
a slush ball.
Bingo. Yeah. Picking you up by the back of your coat and stuffing you face first into a snowbank, that kind of thing.
Okay, yeah.
So it was easier to go out on the ice.
All right.
Yeah. We used to do a neat thing when like March and April would come and the ice would start breaking up.
Mm-hmm.
And we ride like ice. We used to call them icebergs, but the huge slabs of
ice. Really?
And long sticks.
And hope it doesn't tip and you fall in.
Well, that was going to say it only ended one way. You would have a great time until finally it tipped or the balance went off and boosh, you went in.
Right.
And my mother had had enough of it. Oh, thank you very much. My mother, who was a patient, loving woman, I mean, I was 6th of 7, so she was used to stupid things kids do and pretty much okay with it. But the third year in a row, when I came home after iceberging on Emery's Pond, completely drenched, dripping, all muddy, and my mother very rarely snapped, and she snapped. And she accused me of being, you'll find this hard to believe, folks, my mother accused me of being stupid. For Marjorie Witham
Neely. She didn't go there, did she?
Oh, very rarely. Oh. To accuse one of her children of being stupid. With that was a vicious assault. And what could I say, you know?
today, kids today would take that as an affront and a reason to lash back.
Yes.
In your day, it was a means of reflection.
No, in my day, it was a reason to duck. 508-222-1320, 508-222-1320. Dominic, you so kindly pointed out that I'm a minute late.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll be back after this on 1320 WARA.
You're listening to Paul Healy here on AM 1320.
Join the Episcopal Diocese of Rhode Island for a dramatic reading of Dr. Martin Luther King's historic letter from the Birmingham City Jail. The event will take place on January 14th from 7 p.m. to 8:30 at Temple Beth El, 70 Orchard Street in Providence. The letter will be performed by actors from the Mixed Magic Theater Company. Afterwards, there will be a brief group discussion about the performance. This event is free and open to the public. Space is limited, so please register for the event. To register or to learn more about the event, contact info at cfrri.org.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Saturday, January 16th, marks the date for the one-man variety show to be held at 11 o'clock at the Ocean State Theater Company, located on Jefferson Boulevard in Warwick. Robert Post creates a charismatic comedy feast, specializing in rapid-fire character changes. A hilarious mix of unforgettable characters emerge that will surely please all ages. For more information, call 401-921-1777.
Call us now at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320.
Welcome back to 1320 WARA and all over the world at 13, no, at WARAradio.com. Darn.
Nice laptop there, Paul.
Now your mic's on.
Yes, thank you. I was wondering why I couldn't hear myself
in
the headset.
Yeah, it must be the headphones. No, it's Healy. Forgot to turn on the microphone. 508-222-1320 is the number to give us a call. Let me check my Pontificating with Paul Facebook page. I sent a request to my loving daughter, Grace. Nope, she hasn't put it up there yet, but we got to get it up there. It is a great one-minute-long video. We think
she is doing, like, administrative assistant stuff.
Yeah. So. All right, she might be doing a real job now.
Yes.
Good point.
Yes.
Good point. Yes. So, but it is a squirrel that we believe is desperately seeking out the plastic poinsettia plants in Gina's yard. You will not believe the lengths this squirrel is willing to go to. The determination shows. Also, you can text me at 774-287-6194. That's 774-287-6194.
Only during the show.
Yes. Thank you. Puh, no, that... that horse left the barn a long time ago. We did get a text in there. What happened to the Festivus update? Remember Derek Molhan, one of our crack cameramen and our crack sales guy here at WACS and WARA? He went to a Festivus
double ACS? At double ACS, not WACS? I know, it's tough, Paul. It's tough. You're memorizing lines. That's where your focus is.
Huh? Oh, yeah. But anyway, he went to a Festivus party on December 23rd. We were looking forward. He was going to come in studio and give us an update on the Festivus festivities. And we had to table that. Because if he tells us what really went on at that Festivus party, indictments will be following.
Feats of strength.
Yeah, well, suffice it to say, things got a little bit out of hand. They took it outside.
Ooh.
Yeah, and we're... If you were anywhere near the Pawtucket or East Providence area, you might have seen the... large white hoodlums wreaking havoc about the... Oh, well, look who just came into studio. Here is Derek Molhan, the man who could not be defeated in the feats of strength during the December 23rd Festivus celebration. Hello, Derek.
Hello, Paul.
Only a few bruises. You look good.
Yeah, not too bad.
Man. What can you tell us about without?
There's pending litigation, so you got to be careful.
Yeah. Okay. But things got out of hand.
There was about 20 of us.
Oh God.
Male and female, and we got together on December 23rd and had a Festivus party, and celebrated Festivus. Once everybody was there. Yeah. All you heard was this scratching on the floor. My buddy brought out his pole.
Oh God! Okay.
And put it in the, put it where you know in the tree holder.
Yeah.
So the pole was just standing there.
One of the women got the wrong idea and started dancing provocatively, but that was wrong pole. But yes.
So my buddy had made an attempt to cook a very small because the food of choice for Festivus is meatloaf and paella.
Okay. What is paella?
It's like a fish dish
okay.
with a bunch of it was disgusting. All so right. We had, needless to say, we had ordered pizzas on top of that.
Oh, isn't that, that's the greatest compliment for your host. They have a party, they prepare food for you, and you end up ordering out for pizza.
No, he made a meatloaf that was like bite size.
Oh, okay.
You know, he didn't, you know, and I think the stuff, he just took whatever he could find that was fishy in the market and just threw it in a platter instead of looking, you know,
because, okay.
you know, it was just to keep with tradition. So
wow.
We had the airing of the grievances, which I don't think I could repeat a one
okay.
on the air. They got out of hand, some of them, and there were, you know, there were adult beverages. I mean, I don't drink, so,
no.
you know, it
yeah,
was...
thank God.
And then the feats of strength came around.
Yeah.
So it was up to anybody who wanted to try to pin me.
Yes, and the Festivus celebration can't end until the designated person is pinned during the feats of strength.
Right.
So they pick you, a professional wrestler, to be the designated pinnee. How did that work out?
Not too good for them. They were doing everything, they could, but I was doing everything I could. I was. They were pulling on my beard. I was pulling on theirs. I was scratching eyes. One guy hit me low, you know, just try to. So after about 30 minutes of them trying to pin me, they realized it was useless.
Wow. By the way, Derek is our sales guy.
So put you in a sleeper hold.
Yeah, if you're interested in underwriting WARA Radio, contact Derek Mulhan.
And if you can pin me, you can get it for free.
Oh, all right. So did they ever pin you after a half hour? Or they
no, just... no. And then we got to the point where...
Oh, you can't just give up on Festivus.
No, we didn't. We went to alternate feats of strength.
Okay. All right.
And we're probably lucky to not have gotten around.
And that's when you guys took it outside.
That's when we took it outside.
Okay.
That's when we God. Just started, you know, one guy looked at me and said, "Bet you can't lift that car off the ground."
Uh-huh.
And I'm just like, you know, so I'm stupid enough. I tried. I got the, you know, you could see the tires move up.
God.
And then another kid went to one of the signposts.
Okay.
"Bet you can't rip that out of the ground."
Oh, God almighty. At least he didn't say, "I bet you can't stick your tongue to that" without...
No, and, you know, I mean, but this stuff was all, you know, it's cemented down.
Yeah.
So we're running around the neighborhood, you know, there's 20 of us.
God.
So finally, you know, just trying to lift things up.
Now,
you know,
to the Volkswagen who drove into the huge hole where the manhole cover used to be, you have our apologies, our sincere apologies, and no... I'm not kidding.
No, one of my buddies who is probably as big as me, but, you know, really more muscular, somebody went up to him and said, "I bet you can't lift that manhole cover off." And he looked at it, and it had the grates in it, so it had something to handle.
To grab onto.
And he just lifted that thing up, and everybody was like, "Thank God," because this was like 2 hours of trying to find somebody who could do a feat of strength. And he put it, you know, back down, and he was just like,
"Allegedly."
All right, the you know, Festivus ended about 4 hours later than it should have.
Wow. Yeah, four hours and about 87 beers.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, everybody, you know, the cool thing was that the kid owns his own house. No one, okay. You know, I was the only one who left. Because I had stuff to do, but I was
because
sober.
Because you were asked to leave?
Well, no. Well, take it how you want it. But the thing was, they knew that I was fine. I was willing to drive anybody home, but he was having everybody crash there for the night, which was good. And you know, everything. It was probably one of the coolest parties I've been to, because we all dressed up. I went to, I have to show you a picture. I got a couple of pictures. I found an awful wig. A gray-haired wig to look like George.
Okay.
You know, and I got this bad, bad plaited coat.
Otherwise, his normal wardrobe. Sorry.
So everybody, you know, a lot of people dressed up and the lines from the show. In fact, one of the guys, it was really funny. I don't know if you remember the episode, but they were the guys from the Off Track Betting.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And they had one of my friends came in with a long wig and a fake beard, like the guy in the back who was, you know, during the show, they're like, hey, you know who's a man? I'm a man. You know who's a man? Jerry's a man back there. And
wow,
it was crazy. But it was such a fun time.
And that's only the stuff you can tell us about. So
yeah,
is litigation pending.
Well, you know, I my lawyer told me to just, you know, be quiet about that. The airing of the grievances was fantastic.
But that's all I can say.
We'll
have to use our own imaginations. Jim.
The only thing I think of is Fat Albert trying to lift a manhole cover. Okay. That didn't go too well for him, remember?
Was that the cartoon or the movie?
No, the Bill Cosby bit about Fat Albert lifting a manhole cover, getting a hernia.
Geez, I remember Buck Buck. I remember them playing the game Buck Buck.
You don't remember Fat Albert lifting?
No, I don't remember that
no.
one. Well, you don't know
the kids
REM's
giving each other hernias?
Gosh, you don't know REM's Carnival of Sorts, and I don't know the Fat Albert getting a hernia. Lifting the... See, the worst we did, we never did anything like that. The worst we did was attack mailboxes with baseball bats, which, one, I am not proud of. It was vandalism of federal property. And two, we laughed our butts off.
Oh,
I don't know
too.
What is so funny about smashing a defenseless mailbox with a baseball bat, but God, it is. Not proud of it, but it is. It's something in the male genes.
But you know what stinks when you get to that one that's cemented in?
Yeah.
And your hands are just like, boo, 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 boo. I didn't realize that it was a federal offense until after we got caught.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Jim, you've never done that, but your brothers had, right?
No, I don't know if my brothers had done that, but I had a very good friend who would hit the same mailbox at least once a quarter. Once a quarter. And it didn't matter if it was cemented in,
oh, God,
anything.
He was determined.
He was determined. Same mailbox. And this went on for like 4 years.
Oh, no.
God almighty.
Yes.
My son, he and his friends once overheard me and Clay talking about the old days of mailbox.
Mailbox baseball.
Mailbox baseball, yeah. And So he and his buddies, who were guitar players, you know, they were musicians, they decided they were going to do it. Mm-hmm. They made a fatal mistake. What is step one of mailbox baseball, Derek?
Well, I mean, you
step
don't want
to... Step one is check the...
Well, the lighting.
The rear view mirror.
That's true.
You have to make sure there's not an official behind you when you're playing mailbox baseball. So it was their first time. They were rookies. And they're playing mailbox baseball. They didn't check the rear view mirror. And they attempted to smash the mailbox. And the nice woman behind them sees it, writes down the license plate, which was a car registered to me. Yeah, true story.
Who was driving, Paul?
Well, my son and Wyatt were switching off. I wasn't driving, no.
Okay.
No,
he was in the back, hitting the mailboxes.
No, I was home with my scotch, I think. But no, so the person in the van calls the Grafton police. Detective Bill Cook lived in our neighborhood. So he came over to the house. Cam was there, his two buddies who were with him were still there, and he reads in the Riot Act. He does a police officer's job at that point, which was to scare the living hell out of them. And then I walk him back to his car. We're giggling. We're laughing together. And part of what they have to do is they have to go to the woman's house and apologize for hitting the mailbox. Mm. Okay? Now, again, they're not baseball players. They're guitar players.
Oh, jeez.
And they swing baseball bats like guitar players. So they apologize to the woman. The woman goes with them, walks out, looks at the mailbox, and says,
"Nothing.
Well, I really don't see any damage." You talk about failure all around. One, they got caught, and two,
no damage.
They didn't even hit it hard enough to cause any damage. Well, I really don't see any damage, but I must say I do appreciate the apology.
Yeah. She said that's it was epic fail.
Yes,
on every
epic fail. Right.
Word of that's just horrible.
Coming up to 11:31 at 1320 WARA. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Paul Healy here on AM 1320 because nobody else wanted this time slot. Huh?
The Walpole Brain Injury Support Group meets the second Wednesday of every month from 6:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. The meetings take place in the community room of the Walpole Housing Authority at 8 Diamond Pond Terrace in Walpole. The support group is a forum for survivors and their loved ones where they can share information about their brain injury with a compassionate and understanding peer group. Before attending your first meeting, contact Joanne Susi at 508-735-4756.
I'm Paul George of the Indiana Pacers. When I was six, I had one thing on my mind. When I was six, my days were spent playing basketball every chance I could. When I was six, my dream was to make it to the NBA. When I was six, my mom had a stroke. So I want you to learn the signs of a stroke fast. F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. S, speech difficulty. T, time to call 911. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. I'm Paul George. Protect the ones you love. Spot a stroke F-A-S-T. Fast. Life is why. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable. But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
1964, The Tribute is, in fact, a Beatles tribute band scheduled to perform at the Stadium Theater, located on Monument Square in Woonsocket on January 16th at 8 o'clock p.m. Since the early 1980s, this tribute band has been recreating early 60s live Beatles concerts, complete with period instruments, clothing, hairstyles, and even on-stage banter. For more information about this event, call 401-762-4545.
Call us now at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320.
Michael Stipe of REM, 56 years old. He is but a child. He has a lyric in this song which I utter quite often in my life. Sorry. Hello, Jim Jones. Oh, darn it.
Hello, Paul.
Thank you. Up to $6. We need a charity for this month, folks. Any ideas?
No.
If you have an idea for what charity we should contribute our mistakes to, give us a ring at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320. Gee, I should have planned the appeal for when he says, sorry, in this song, but I couldn't time it that well. So let me get this straight. From your smartphone, you fixed the problem with computer number one?
Yes.
How? That's... How?
Easy, it's smart.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's why I should... Imagine that. Whenever the bell played, we had that.
Yeah.
Sorry. Wow. All right. No, the technology is just so far over my head.
What song was that?
South Central Rain.
South Central Rain, okay.
But with that little thingy in your hand, you could fix the problem on this computer.
Yeah. I could have fixed it at 9 o'clock when Dominic noticed it and told me. But
he didn't tell you.
That's right. If he had told me, I could have fixed it then. But
well, it was only his show we didn't record.
Well, no. About halfway through yours, he told me.
Yeah, darn. Oh, well.
Well,
oh, yeah.
You have the recording.
Yeah,
I don't.
But you don't. Oh, well. Well, I told Dominic I would do an especially bad
show.
And
you cut it apart, so it doesn't work for me.
Okay. 508-222-1320, 508-222-1320. By the way, sincerely apologize. smashing defenseless mailboxes is in no way defensible. It will cost me a few years in purgatory. But God, was it fun, and I don't know why. Man.
That you advocate it.
No, I don't advocate it. I especially don't advocate to when Clay owned the Blue Streak, which is a big, huge Ford LTD.
Okay.
And with a big, huge Ford LTD, we decided, one, why use a baseball bat at all when you have the front bumper of the Blue Streak, the Ford LTD? Gosh. That's when things got a bit out of hand.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it finally came to an end when his windshield cracked from the mailbox hurtling back against Sane.
Mm.
So, again, folks, it happened. Stupid bored boys. It's really a dangerous combination.
Were you guys really bored? I don't think so.
Well, I don't. Yes.
Had the pond not frozen over by then?
That must be it. The pond wasn't frozen over yet.
Yes.
That was it. Yeah. 508-222-1320, 508-222-1320.
So tomorrow's inauguration night.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Mayor Kevin Dumas begins his seventh term. I knew that.
Him along with, 27 other elected officials taking their solemn oath tomorrow night?
Julie Hall stepping up to take, and she knows, she's taken a few oaths in her life.
Sure.
She's a colonel, right? A retired colonel?
Retired colonel.
Man. Sir.
Not lieutenant.
And doesn't even make
colonel.
Doesn't even make us call her sir. What do you call a female colonel?
Sir.
You do call sir. Mm. Okay, because there's title of the sex. All right. Where was I? Do you get the Boston Globe delivered?
No, I heard that you might have a problem with it, though.
It has been a nightmare. It has been a nightmare. It used to be the same company delivered the Globe, the Herald, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, all those. Dave was our guy, Dave Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. Give him a big tip every year. And it was fantastic. But the Globe decided to save money by... Okay, we just got a text here. Now there's an app to smash mailboxes on the smartphones. Wow! With a smartphone, not only can you fix other computers remotely, you can now smash mailboxes remotely. All right, that's technology I can support.
Just what I was looking for.
Yeah. Anyway, what was I talking about before that? Darn that short-term memory loss. Oh, the Boston Globe.
Yes.
It is amazing how disruptive that is. Because my whole life, my parents got the Globe delivered. When I went to college, we got the Globe delivered to our dorm room. Only read the sports page then, or the comics, because I was in college. But still, and it is amazing how it disrupts your entire morning when the right papers don't come. Mm-hmm. And we get the Herald, the Tea Party Times, the Globe, the Daily Pravda, and all the news that's fit to print, the New York Times, delivered to the house in the morning. But wait, there's more. Then we get the Ledger. The Patriot Ledger delivered in the afternoon. Four papers every day to the house.
Wow.
And when you don't get your Globe, because to me that's one of the most worth reading.
Well, there is a benefit to this.
What?
You can finally tell the reporters what you think about their articles as they're delivering them in the morning.
That's right, exactly. Because on last Sunday, because they didn't want to screw up the Sunday Globe, their editors and reporters, including Kevin Cullen, who's been there for a minute, they delivered the paper. Wow. Wow. Kevin Cullen, today's article, he talks about the last time he delivered a paper. He was 12 years old, and he gave his paper on Collection Day. Remember, did you ever have a paper route?
I did.
Yes, and back when we were boys, the paper boy or girl had to collect people's money.
That's correct.
He had the little notebook he kept charge of.
Right.
And you really learned small business skills.
Correct, because if you didn't hand in the money, you were paying for
exactly it. Exactly right. And just like the real world, because it was the real world, some people paid on time, some people were always late, it was the same people, some people tipped, and some people didn't.
Right.
But now people mail in their bills, and the paper boy doesn't even have to collect, which was by far the most difficult aspect of that job. But Kevin Cullen writes about the last time he delivered a paper. He gave his paper to Mr. Daly of Malden on Collection Day. Mr. Daly always paid what he owed to the exact cent. Nothing more.
With a check.
Oh, isn't that awful?
Because
you couldn't pilfer and then repay it later if they gave you a check. God. Especially when you got... Yeah, never mind.
Right. What was nice with the Sun Chronicle, I'm not sure about other papers, is they would build in 15 cents per paper.
For the paper boy?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Cool.
So by the end of the week, you had like $1.50.
Wow. Oh, hey. Yeah. Yeah. But this, but he said,
if you weren't tipped.
Right. Well, Mr. Daly never tips. So one day, Kevin Cullen gives him his paper, collects the money for the paper, and then was checking his notebook. So he's lingering on Mr. Daly's front porch. So Mr. Daly says, are you waiting for a tip? But he kind of says, well, yeah. Stay in school.
Stay in school, yeah.
That was, and then down here, so I get four papers delivered to the house, and then I buy the Sun Chronicle down here every day, which I've come to love. Monday, by the way, I got to get, I was having Peter Gay on every Monday, or at least every other Monday, to discuss his column. I don't know when that faded away, but I want to get Peter back. We have Bob Bamberg in from there, Bill Govea, who would love to come on more, but he works for a living during this time. So, but I've really come to like that paper.
But what was worse, just to finish my story.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Was, you know, the paper was like $1.50 for the week.
Okay.
And so they give you $2. So you got 50 cent tip.
Oh, wow.
But then the paper would go up to $1.60 and you got a 40 cent tip.
Right. Because they
and then $1.75 and you got a quarter. It's like, what is this? Yeah. I'm done.
That's exactly right.
Route 37A, keep it. Keep it.
Right. God.
A was Holman Street. B was Falmouth Street. It was done.
God. Yeah, I delivered the. I never had a morning paper route, but I had an afternoon Middlesex News paper route.
Breaking news.
Okay, we have a recommendation. Okay, here's a recommendation for our charity for January, the Festivus Defense Fund, and jury trial lawyers.
Oh.
Allow it.
So why don't you send it to the Human Fund?
The Human
Fund.
So yeah, maybe that would be it. The Festivus Celebration Defense Fund. Wow. Mm. And they're going to need our help. Man. 508-222-1320, 508-222-1320. Why do you need five newspapers a day when you only read a headline and the first line of the articles? L, why did you have to send this when Jim Jones is sitting in studio?
And then I have a let me have a follow-up question.
All right.
You read all of these newspapers. You get five of them a day.
Yeah.
And you know nothing about the siege in Oregon?
I took the weekend off, basically, except for the sports pages. I took the weekend off in the papers because I had to memorize lines all weekend.
Okay.
But, no, I do have some things labeled. I'll read
them.
Okay,
all right.
And the New York Times, their op-ed page, I read every day. But I don't get into the whole rest of it. But Carol's a crosswordaholic. We wouldn't get the Herald, the Tea Party Times, which is truly, truly a horrible newspaper. With the exception of Peter Galzinis and their sports section, the Boston Herald is a horrid, terrible, inaccurate newspaper, but Carol's addicted to their crossword puzzle.
You could probably get it on Kindle.
On what?
Kindle.
What's a Kindle? Oh, the fake book thing?
Yeah.
No, please.
Read the newspaper on the Kindle. They give you the headlines. You click on it. You read through it.
But one reason I don't like that is because when you do get a bunch of newspapers, you find stories by accident that you're not looking for. Whereas the interweb only gives you stories that it thinks you're interested in.
Well, no,
based
no,
on
no.
The past stories
like,
you've
if
read.
If you subscribe to the Sun Chronicle, okay. You get the entire paper that you can either browse through.
Where is the search function on their website?
Yeah,
I
don't know.
If you're looking for something on the Sun Chronicle's website, where the hell is the search button? Where is it?
I don't know.
I blame Mark Farinella.
I've tried many times.
Yeah. With that one exception, I love the paper. It's Peter Gobis. It's a great paper.
Mm-hmm.
But where's your search function? Come on. And if you don't know.
Google what you want plus the Sun Chronicle. Works almost every single
time. Yeah, but that.
I understand.
Yes, but you're not.
Sometimes you have to work around issues, man.
Like I have a shot at that. Downton Abbey, didn't talk about that, but that started again last night. Play rehearsals. Oh, Oregon. See, I do have Oregon written down in my notes.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I don't know enough about it, too,
right.
but I'll get to that. Where are we here? And the reason I don't go, you know, I read a lot of the articles off the air, but I'm not going to read a whole article.
Absolutely not.
On the air. That's,
right.
Wow.
Right.
I mean, this day in history is desperate radio enough without reading entire articles.
That is pretty desperate.
Yeah. 11:45.
The Sun Chronicle is published like 1 a.m. in the morning. You know, 1 a.m. So there's time. What time do you get up in the morning? 5?
No, Dominic gets up. I'm not on till 10.
No, but
you get up at 7:15.
Okay, 7:15.
Dan McKerney texts in, read this past Saturday's Sun Chronicle about an Eagle Scout. Gee, I wonder if that would be his son. Brandon McKerney. What do you know? You know
is
why
is that Brandon or Brendan?
One of those. You know why he doesn't have an agent? Because Dan is his father.
That's right.
Yeah. That's odd. They make you search for the search button. What is the Chronicle thinking? Thank you, Texture. Very good. That is odd that they make you search for the search button. Why I oughta. 11:47. Lay temperature, she is 28.6 degrees. Feels like 22 degrees, which is tropical compared to what it's going to be tonight. 10 degrees.
And what's nice is that when you go out to your car, because you've left the windows down, you just whisk away the snow.
Right.
It's not melted. It's not a puddle. You just whisk it away. And you sit down. It's all good. Right?
You know that's accurate,
that's
don't
right,
you?
That's right, yes.
11:47, we'll be right back to wrap up today's edition of Pontificating with Paul.
You're listening to Paul Healy here on AM 1320.
The year-round farmer's market, located at Attleboro Farms on Hickory Road in North Attleboro, has nestled inside for the winter season. Local producers and artisans will be available on Sundays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m., with everything from fresh produce, eggs, baked goods, honey, and so much more. I dare say you can pick up those fresh carrots for Sunday dinner and still be home in plenty of time to watch the Patriots play. What could be better than that, I ask you? For more information, call 508-695-7200. Buy fresh, buy local.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance so common with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
The Plainville United Methodist Church, located on East Bacon Street in Plainville, will hold its annual calendar supper on Saturday, January the 9th, at 5:30 p.m. in the handicapped accessible Bomar Hall. A warming winter meal of chicken pot pie with all the fixins will include stuffing, green beans, rolls, and assorted desserts. For more information, call 508-695-5141 or 508-699-8646.
Call us now at 508-222-1320. That's 508-222-1320.
No, that's not the transmitter. This is Blue Monday by New Order. Bernard Summer of both Joy Division and New Order, 60 years old today. Now, do you remember this?
No.
This was the height of the British techno pop movement.
The height?
This song is in the soundtrack for The Wedding Singer. This is when synthesizers were big. Remember they said it was going to destroy music? Musicians would be out of work because people would just use synthesizers? Until songs like this made us realize how much synthesizers suck.
We need to get a camera in here so that all of our fans can watch what's happening in the studio right now.
And chair dance with me. Mesmerizing. There are lyrics coming up, trust me. Doris Kearns Goodwin is 73 years old. Dawn Shula is 86. Wow. The people at New Hope would love this song, because basically it's a song about domestic abuse. How do I feel? You know, you tell me how I feel. You control all my emotions, everything about me. But I'm quite sure that you'll tell me just how I should feel today. Speaking of horrible domestic abuse, on this day in 1990, here's a happy subject. Charles Stewart, who claimed that he'd been wounded and his pregnant wife fatally shot by a robber, leapt to his death off the Tobin Bridge after he himself came under suspicion. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Gosh. Claimed a black guy.
That's
did
right.
It?
A big black guy broke into
her
house.
In a sweatsuit.
Yep.
We all believed him. The police, for the next 2 or 3 days, basically turned Roxbury and Mattapan into a police state.
Right.
It was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And then his story started to unravel, primarily because his brother refused to cover up for him. And his brother, it was his brother who first suspected.
Mm-hmm.
Which tells you that this was the Charles Stewart family and not the Whitey Bulger family, who thought it was noble that they covered up for Whitey Bulger. You know, Billy Bulger here?
Yes.
Thought it was
president of UMass?
Yeah, president of the Senate before that. Thought it was noble. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to turn on my brother.
I don't know where he is.
God, drop dead. No one has loved a big brother more than I love my brother John. Trust me, if he killed someone in cold
blood,
I'd turn him in.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus. If he's caught shoplifting or something and he can help him out.
Maybe.
Murder? Murder? But so hats off to Charles Stewart's brother, who led to the unraveling of Charles Stewart's story, which led to Charles Stewart doing the right thing, saving the Commonwealth millions of dollars in legal fees by leaping off the Tobin Bridge. He was the first person not to leap off the Tobin Bridge because of the Boston Red Sox in years. Well, that's 1990. Remember, the Red Sox hadn't won anything.
Yes.
Most jumpers then, it was due to the Red Sox. This falls under the heading of what we were thinking, huh? I mean, dance clubs, people would be dancing wildly to this.
even today. Paula Jones is back in the news, huh?
Paula Jones is?
Yeah.
No, why?
Coming under a Hillary attack. Well, she's attacking Hillary.
Why is Paula Jones attacking Hillary? Because I thought overweight white women had to stick together. Ooh, sorry.
That's terrible, Paul.
I know.
That's terrible.
Sorry.
Terrible.
No, why is Paula Jones
no,
in the news?
They
both wear pantsuits. No, sorry. See, I did it again.
No, Paula Jones was just talking about Hillary's stance on women and how she champions women issues and
darn
like
right.
But
I feel a butt coming.
But you know, the hypocrisy of that when she protected, you know, her husband during the Paula Jones and the was it Jennifer Flowers?
She was channeling her inner Patsy Cline.
Oh.
Stand by your man.
Oh yes.
Give him two arms to cling
right.
to.
He did nothing wrong.
Well,
let's protect him.
I don't think she ever said that.
Well,
I think she said that's our business and that's nothing to do with his ability to govern the country, but I don't know.
Yeah.
No, the reason
let's make Paula Jones look like the bad person.
Paula
here.
Jones is the bad guy. I have no trouble with Paula Jones making millions. The song's finally over, by the way. With Paula Jones making millions of dollars by coming up with Southern recipes specifically designed to make people fat and give them diabetes. That's what she chose to do.
What are you talking about? You're talking about Paula Deen.
Oh, wow!
I'm talking about Paula Jones.
That wasn't even a planned gag.
I was like, where is this going?
No, that's not even a planned gag. I really am.
How do you
stupid.
Vilify Paula Jones?
You know, the Paula Jones testimony led to one of the most accurate jokes in world history. What's the difference between Bill Clinton and a good cigar?
Oh, God.
A good cigar doesn't bend to the left. And that was directly from the Paula Jones tendency. That's how they knew she was telling the truth. Stay classy, God. Seattle. But, I was thinking Paula Deen.
Yes.
Not Paula Jones. Wow.
And the 40-second delay has now hit the outside.
Yeah, there it is. We can hear them laughing at me, not with me,
yes.
over there in the TV studio. Well, let me finish my thought on Paula Deen. I have no problem with Paula Deen going out of her way to give people diabetes and making millions of dollars doing it. It's a capitalist country. Capitalism is evil. And that's fine. I have a huge problem with her then making millions of more dollars by coming out with cookbooks to help people lose weight that they gained because of her earlier cookbooks.
Right.
No. Not that kind of stunning hypocrisy. But you didn't mean Paula Deen. You meant... Paula Jones. Wow.
Yes.
How do I recover from that one?
I don't know.
508-222-1320. 508-222-1320. If you want to confuse
me. I'm just curious if I was the only one confused with what was happening there. I was thinking to myself, wow, you're vilifying Paula Jones in this entire situation. Oh, wow.
She was the victim, for crying out
yes.
loud.
Yes.
Oh, man. But that was another case. People didn't believe her at first.
Right, right.
You know, she's a money grabber.
Mm-hmm. He can't possibly want to be with her. Look at her.
We're almost out of time here, but let's go to the phones real quick. Good morning.
So, Tony, did you actually remember to leave your windows rolled up today?
All right, okay. One of the windows I think might be open a crack, but it'll be all right. With a towel, I can brush the snow off, so I will not have WBS wet butt syndrome today. Gosh, I do have FBS, foggy brain syndrome.
I can tell.
And PTS, poor taste syndrome, but other than that, we'll be okay. Hey, it's 11 o'clock, Bruce. Thanks for calling, but we got to go.
No, it's 12 o'clock.
Oh, my God. 8 mistakes on the day. We're off to a great start. Thanks, Bruce.
Bye.
Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. And now it's, it's past 12 o'clock. See you tomorrow, folks. Amy Goodman is next.